Praise the Lord. You may be seated. This is a very special day. One thing, God is here with us. And another thing, we have a lot of babies to dedicate. So, I was thinking this morning when I was looking at all these names, I thought, what happened to common names like Joe and Sam and John and Rebecca and Robert? But anyway, some of these names, I know Brother Grant told me just learn to pronounce them, but honey, there's no way. I talked to the grandfather, and he wasn't even sure how to pronounce it. So if he doesn't know, I'm not even going to try. So I want my helpers to come up, the ladies that are going to do the corsages. And as I call your name, I want you to stand and then let them put the corsage on you and the boutonniere. Lana and Marvin Renvick. And here comes Marvin. Now, they were kind to me. They have got Cole, Marvin, Alan, Renvick. Now, those I can handle. He's a special little guy. And then we have Sarah and Justin Wall. And they have Olivia Joe and Isabella Rose. And Brother Grant, we have dedicated another set of twins. It was Rebecca and Matthew Renvick. Sharon was just floored that you didn't remember. Okay, now we have Jason and Naylene. And they have a little girl named Jada. If they will stand. Okay. She's coming. And as soon as Robert gets through being stuck, I want him to come here. I can handle Serenity, but the other two, I'm going to let him pronounce.
Janija Lachey, Serenity Scott.
Thank you. And he is a proud daddy. Okay, Britt and Brad Topp. And their little boy's name is Bentley Wayne. Now that is a nice name too. Okay, Tony. Come on. You tell me what your grandson's names are.
Giovanni and Gianni.
Okay, you got it. Okay, we have Rochelle and Joe Phillips, if they would stand. And they have Ala Jolie. Ayla Jolie. Okay. Then we have Chantel Shepherd. And she has a little boy named Quentin. She had to go. Okay. Well, I know Chantel, in case some of you don't know, she has cancer, and it was questionable whether she would even be able to make it here this morning. So, but at least she tried. So, we do have a corsage for her, yes. Okay. Carolyn, are you pinning on Chantel's? Just pin it on Melody then. Okay, Brother Grant. Sister Jessica said by the time I got through all these names, Brother Grant would only have 5 minutes to preach, but I think I've given him a little longer.
Thank you, Sister Grant. Yes. Praise God. What a great time to be here in the house of the Lord. And we do regret that Chantel had to leave. When you pray, make sure that you pray for her. She has had this cancer for some time. It's very, very serious. And we really need to pray that God would heal her. Because without a miracle, she's not going to be able to make it. But she came and stayed as long as she could, and I really do appreciate that so very much. Baby dedications are just fun times. Today, I guess I plan to make it a little bit more lighthearted than most of them. And Sharon informed me that I did dedicate twins before, and that was Matthew and Rebecca Renvick. And I remember when Sharon announced that she was going to have a baby, and so I went to her and I said, you know, I had a dream about you, and I dreamed that you had twins. She said, Brother Grant, I could just choke you. She said, don't you ever say that. She said, did you? I said, oh yeah, I really did. Of course, I was teasing her. And she had twins. You remember that, Sharon? Oh, yeah. Yeah, never will forget it. Our roots run very deep with most all of you. I dedicated my son, Roy, about 48, 49 years ago. He'll be 50 coming up this August. He'll be that. Our very first new convert in our church was Lois Michaels after I moved here. And Lois ended up marrying my son, Roy. I performed the marriage. And then later on, dedicated Lana. And then ended up performing the marriage for Lana and Marvin Renvick. And we've dedicated their daughter, Ava, and now their son, Cole. And when they told me they named him Cole, I thought that she'd pick Cole. I thought it was K-O-H-L because of she stays over there all the time in the store. So I thought, well, the association seems to be okay, you know. Then when I saw it, it was spelled with a C, C-O-L-E. But it is just so good to, so good to see all of you. And, you know, I could go on and on and on with my relationship with you folks and what it has meant to me over the years. It's just been so pleasant. And then Creasy, she was concerned that she'd never get married and she was going to die of old age. And I assured her that at 23, she didn't have to worry about that. Now, I'm making up age 23. I don't know how old you were, but anyway. So along came Robert. And Robert was such an outstanding young man. And Robert is not, creases all over the place, you know, just all over the place. And Robert just moves very slowly and very methodically. And I thought, well, he'll be a pretty easy catch for her, you know. He won't get away. Sure enough, he didn't. And You know, I just was really thrilled that God had met the need of this single mother, and now they have their own common child. And I could go on and on and on with all of you. It's just so great. I'll not have you to stand because of the time. Today I'm going to speak on the subject K-I-S-M-I-F. K-I-S-M-I-F. And I remember coming to Madison about 44 years ago. I held a Sunday school rally and then stayed over on the Saturday afternoon and conducted a Sunday school seminar in a church here. And Sister Grant and I use this as our subject, K-I-S-M-I-F. And those are letters that stand for keep it simple, make it fun. Now, I've seen this used. I saw this in a book. It said K-I-S-M-I-F. S, they put the S on there, keep it simple, make it fun, stupid. But I'm leaving that off. That's not the way I use it. I think that in an organizational structure, whether it be in a home, whether it be a corporate office, whether it be in the church, you should always keep the organization as simple as possible to achieve what needs to be achieved, because if not, the fun factor leaves. And I tell people on our staff, you work here, we try. We go the extra mile to have fun. And if you have someone like Brother Thomas on your staff, and we celebrated Brother Thomas' 70th birthday yesterday. Isn't that great? But one thing that one missionary recently stated, he said, you know, Pastor, you had such a great worship service. Everything was so great. You know the most impressive thing about your church? I said, what? He said that you stood up there and told everyone. Now, when you hear the music playing, that means what? And that means you stop fellowshipping and you go back to your pew. Now, he said the most impressive thing was that they did not do that. And you had to still go up there and remind them it's time to go back to your pew. And I said, well, why would this be the most impressive thing? He said, because I noticed that your people have fun. They love each other. They have fun with each other. They're out there laughing and with all of the sincere worship. They're just having fun. My wife and I were called to a church here in the state of Wisconsin, and we went and preached there. We didn't go. I was superintendent of the district at the time, but we didn't go to do any business. We just simply went up there to minister. So when I got in the car and started to leave, my wife said, did you notice anything different about this church? And I said, well, I did, but maybe I shouldn't have noticed what I noticed. And she said, what was it? And I said, well, I noticed that when I got behind the pulpit and I said a few funny things, everybody just kind of looked at me. And nobody smiled or anything. And she said, you know, I went by and shook hands with people and smiled and greeted them. And she said, not one person smiled. Now, I don't have any idea why. It didn't take me long to figure out why they weren't growing. You know, they were wanting to have revival. But it's pretty hard to sell somebody on something if they don't act like they're having fun doing it, you know. But one thing for sure, we have fun here at Calvary Gospel Church. You know, we may we may laugh at each other and such, but we're also very sincere about our fellowship. We love each other. We laugh a lot, which brings me to my scripture text today, Proverbs 15, verse 13 through 13 and 15. Verse 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Wow. It's like eating all the time, just having a great time. And then chapter 17, and we go to verse 22. A merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. If you had your choice, would you rather be around someone that's lighthearted and happy, or someone that's full of gloom? You know, I've been places in which every person that got up behind the pulpit, it's always gloom. You know, always talking about problems and such. Now, we all come to the house of God with a whole basket full of needs and sometimes concerns and problems. But isn't it good that you can come in the house of God and just divert your attention away from a lot of that and just get your mind on the good things of the Lord? God is so good. So good. And there are some people that if they ever had a problem, you never would know because they're always happy. Well, happy is not one of the fruits of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, meekness, kindness. But you will find that happiness has its roots. It's like if you take love and peace and joy and you put them in a bowl and you mix them all up and you poured it out, it would say laughter. You know, laughter. I think I told this last Sunday, but my mother told me after I moved to Wisconsin, she very serious, she said, you know, I want to talk with you, John. She said, when you and Sissy, that's my sister, not the one just under me, but the one that's but next to the youngest sister, she was just a little thing when I was a teenager, and so I played with her all the time and tickled her, and we just had a great time, you know, growing up. And my mother said, when you two get together, she said, you act so crazy. She said, I got to tell you, she said, I pray for you because I don't think you're ever going to be able to build a church in Wisconsin. She said, if you would just start acting serious about everything. Well, you can't be serious about everything, you know. And I assured her that I could be serious, and she told me, she said, I wouldn't be a member of your church. And, of course, I told you last week, I told her, I said, well, that may be true, but if you became a member of our church, first thing I'd do is disfellowship you. You know. My precious mom, she was, my mom could get on to me about being so corny and silly, and she could be equally as corny and silly. But it's different when she's doing it, see. Because I'm supposed to be the preacher boy, you know. I'm supposed to be serious all the time. Well, certainly this is a new beginning for these little ones that we are dedicating today. It's a new start for the parents, especially those that don't have a child. And then it's an extra chapter that's placed in the book for you who already have one. When we had one child, it made a big difference. When we had two, it made a huge difference. When we had three, we realized we were a family. I mean, it really did make that much difference. Our lives were changed, as is my wife and I, in May of 2009 when Marvin and Lana came and lived with us, and since then we have bought the church parsonage. But they brought little Ava in, and Ava turned 3 in January. She was in here a little earlier, but I don't think she's here now, is she? Oh, is she asleep? She's not asleep. Ava, sweetheart, I'm going to say some things about you, hon. You know, she comes over. We built an addition on, and we can close the door, but she comes, she knocks real gently. She gets up super early. Lana just said, did Ava come over before daylight? I said, no. She said, well, I saw this little shadow go across the floor. She wants to go see if Grandma's awake. Well, yesterday when I came in from Rich's birthday party, and I always take this afternoon nap, always. I call them power naps. It sounds spiritual, doesn't it? Power naps, so got to have a power nap. I'm sitting in my chair, and little Ava comes up, and she says, Papa, you want to take a nap? And I said, sure. She said, I'll get Grandma. So, nothing doing, but I went in and stretched out across the bed, and Ava gets this little cover, this little quilt thing. Boy, she climbs up the back of the bed, and she runs over there, and she throws that down, and Grandma's going to tuck Grandpa in on one side, and she's going to tuck me in on the other side. Now, how can life get any better than that? And she's up right next to my neck, and she's tucking it in. She's just talking, talking, talking. Now, sometimes I can understand every word she says. Other times I can't understand the word she was saying. I could not at this time. I couldn't understand. But after she got me all tucked in and everything, I said, thank you, hon. She said, you're welcome. And to her, that's a big, big thing. And we're just excited about having her so near us. Well, Marvin and Lana, too, and Cole. But, she got where she could put a lot of words together. Last night when her mother was tucking her in, she was all tucked in and everything. She says, she looks at her mother and she says, you cute little thing, would you come give me a hug? That's what she's heard somebody say about her, you know. You cute little thing. You know, the thing about it is, these kids, they can say some of the funniest things, you know. And like Ava's always playing peekaboo. And sometimes we can't understand what she's saying, but she was saying pingaboo. And so Marvin, and we were just finishing supper, and so Marvin says, peekaboo. And she looked at him, and he said, peekaboo, and she looked at him, and she says, I wasn't saying peekaboo, I was saying pingaboo. So she knew what she was saying. You know, but through the years, we've collected a lot of stories, funny stories. It's just amazing. I remember one kid that we had singing right out in the auditorium, just as loud as he could, kind of off key. And we were singing, I Shall Not Be Moved, and he was singing, I Shall Not Be Nude. One little girl, now this actually happened, one little girl was singing, I Don't Want to Be a Jonah. And she didn't know what they were saying. She says, I don't want to be a donut and be swallowed by a whale. We're singing a song, Take Me in the Lifeboat. This little boy was saying, Chase Me Up a Light Pole. I remember a funny story that my sister told. She was pastoring down in Arapahoe. Actually, Clinton, they lived in Arapahoe, Oklahoma. And they were doing the nativity scene. And so this little boy, dark brown eyes, and he had drawn the nativity scene. And right in the middle of the barn was a little boy that had just a round face, just a little fat little boy, you know, just obese, actually. And she said, I didn't want to ask him, who is this? So I said, who's this? She said, oh, these are the shepherds. You know, who is this? Oh, these are the angels, you know. These are the wise men. Who is this? This is Joseph. This is Mary. Who's in the, that's baby Jesus. And she pointed this little boy and said, who's this? He said, round John Virgin. Oh, my. This happened down in our neck of the woods. Out in the country, it was a church. And a preacher came by, and he preached a message on the half has never yet been told. You probably know the story behind that statement, what the Queen of Sheba said concerning Solomon and his kingdom when she came. And then he taught them a chorus, the half has never yet been told. When he came back a year later, they were singing, the calf has never yet been sold. Laughter seems to be the medicine of the soul. Now, the reason why that I have stated that I wanted to make this lighthearted, it's just such a special time. I think if you really want a healthy home, you got to have a happy home. And I know that some people are so spiritually minded that they can enjoy a good laugh. And there's absolutely nothing in the world, if you want your children to buy into your church and your belief, they're going to have to be happy doing what they're doing. And you don't want them growing up in a home in which they just don't have fun. So Psalm 126, verse 1 through 3, the Bible says, when the Lord turneth again the captivity of Zion, we shall seem like we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then saith they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. In other words, when people see you laughing, they say, oh, you know, God's done great things for them. Isn't that something? God has done such great things. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Every now and then we'll have a service in which things will get a little bit heavy. And I inform people, I said, look, you know, you need to smile. And the key to smiling is you pick up your eyebrows. Have you ever lowered your eyebrows and tried to smile? Push them down, you know. See? That's just made for frowns, you know. Pick them up if you want to smile. And the thing about it is, if you pick them up, then you end up smiling. And the amazing thing is, if you feel like you don't have anything to smile about and you start smiling, then because laughter is just contagious, isn't it? You remember the story in the Old Testament about Abraham when the Lord told Abraham he was going to have a child. And remember, he did have a child when he was 100 years old. And Sarah was 90. And when she got the news that she was going to have a child, now I don't have any idea what was going on in her mind. But I know this, in her tent, the Bible says she started laughing. And she laughed and she laughed and she laughed. And all of a sudden, the ladies in the tents round about, because they lived out in the desert and they lived in tents, and they heard her laugh, and the Bible says they started laughing. And they laughed, and they laughed, and they laughed. And after a while, the whole camp was laughing, especially the ladies. I'm sure if you went and found some sober man outside that was been trying to sleep and couldn't, if you walked up to him and said, "What's all this about?" He said, "I don't have any of these goofy ladies." They just started laughing. You asked some of the ladies, "What are you laughing about?" "I don't know. Just we heard Sarah laughing and it just sounded funny." Reminds me of a story. When we were in Connecticut last year at the district conference, before the service, we stopped in for supper at Olive Gardens. Now, the Olive Garden there is about three times the size of the one we have here. And right in the middle of it has this big courtyard and high ceiling and everything. They got this long table. When we went in, there must have been 30, I assume, Italians, because they weren't speaking English. And this is a real Italian restaurant, you know. So we were seated just beyond them. Well, all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but they started laughing. And they laughed, 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 and they laughed. You know, the thing about it is, there's certain things that you know, when people cry, they all cry in the same language. When they laugh, they all laugh in the same language. And they were laughing and laughing and laughing. Well, the server came over to us, and we had already started laughing. Because how can I sit like 10 feet from 30 people that's just dying laughing and not laugh? You know, you look at them, you don't know what you should do, and then you start laughing. After a while, you laugh. So the server came over and said, "What's so funny?" I said, "I have no idea." I mean, I have no idea. She said, "You don't know what you're laughing about?" I said, "Yeah, I know what I'm laughing because these people are laughing. These people are obviously having a good time." We left there. We never did find out what they were laughing about, but they laughed continually. It just got to be where it was just hilarious. Just laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. Well, over the years, Sister Grant and I have had a good number of things to happen to us while pastoring that's made us laugh, and we occasionally tell some of those from behind the pulpit, and some of those you are well aware of. And I've had people come up to me, ministers, said, "Brother Grant, you need to write a book." Well, I thought, for the most part, they're talking about serious things, because I can get serious, you know. They said, "No, we're talking about these funny things that happened to you and Sister Grant." Well, funny things happen to everybody, just that it doesn't leave much of an effect on some people. I just remember, this just came to my mind. You know, baptized a young man over on Milwaukee Street, and of course, it was open there. It didn't have a blind or anything. The baptismal tank was behind. So everybody would get around front, and they'd look, or they could sit back and look. So I got in the tank. It's the only way I could baptize, get in the tank. And the candidate for baptism, young man, probably early 20s, he was standing up on the rim. He walked up the steps, and now he's ready to come down in the tank. Long tank, very long tank. And I'm on one end, then I'm talking. So I talk and talk. I'm talking about the importance of baptism. And all of a sudden, without me stopping or anything, he just screams out, "In Jesus' name!" And he puts his hands together like he's making a high dive and went, bloom, into the water, splashing water all over the place. Well, I kind of lost my composure, and everybody else did too. And he stayed under the water quite a while, and he came up, shook the water off. And I said, "What happened?" He says, "I just got baptized." And I said, "Well, I was going to baptize you." He says, "Well, that's what I thought." But he said, "Pastor, you talk too much." He'll baptize himself. I took too much time. Just blew. Under the water he went. We were praying at the altar one night after I had preached, and a young man came in. He was so disturbed, he ran straight down the altar and fell on his face before God, and he just started weeping and crying, and the men gathered around him, started praying for him. And he abruptly just stood up and looked around like he didn't know where he was. He took out running. He ran to the bank door, ran out, grabbed his coat. Some of the men went to see what happened. He was running down the sidewalk as far down as they could see. Came back in. Well, so much for that. I guess we won't pray for him anymore. So we're all talking around the altar, and all of a sudden, the door bloop, opens up, and coat rack, bloop, you know, he pulls his coat off, and he runs in just as fast as he can. Down, slides in like a runner sliding into second base. Starts weeping and crying, and we gather around him, and we pray him through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, my. So I asked him, I said, what happened? He says, I'm not for sure. He said, I was just praying, and all of a sudden he says, oh, I got scared. I thought, man, what in the world am I doing in here? I mean, these people are crazy. You better get out of here. He said, I grabbed my coat, and I ran as far as I could. But he said, you know, it's like one of these tractor pulls. The further I went, the harder it got to go. And he said, finally, I came to a screeching halt, and I felt something just pulling me back and pulling me back and pulling me back. Then I realized it was God. And when I gave in, he said, it was just like the Lord shot an arrow, and I was that arrow. And I fell right back into the place that I took off from. Found the Lord in the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in the kingdom of God that are very different and serious and cause a lot of embarrassment. But there's more things that happen that brings great joy and happiness. And, you know, in your home, correction is something that has to take place. And one of the biggest problems, especially in our American society, is that all children have entirely too many choices. And after a while, they get so confused and so cantankerous that they're not happy with anything. It doesn't make any difference what you offer them. It's just, no, it's not right. And then you have to start teaching them values. Sometimes they resist. And I think about these little ones, and I've dedicated little ones, and I've seen those little ones later grow up and sit way in the back and just kind of out of harness with everything and everybody. And what happened to them? Somewhere the fun factor of the home left. The fun factor of church left. You can preach your heart out. You can tell funny stories. They don't smile. In the home, they don't smile much. But you know, an atmosphere of joy and laughter is the best environment that you can create in order to teach values to your children. They have fun. They laugh a lot. They have fun. I do feel that the most impressive thing about a home, outside of naturally being spirit-filled, but we laugh at the right things. You know, you can laugh at things that are not complementary to the kingdom of God. But we need to keep this environment of laughter, K-I-S-M-I-F, keep it simple, make it fun. Any church that is dead, dull, and boring will cause the saints to become disconnected. Our sons went off for a weekend to visit with a relative, and we asked about the church. How was the church? our sons, that was just Roy and John. They were just, oh, it was great. And then Roy, who always comes up with one of these little special things, he says, it was great, Dad, until church started. I said, what do you mean until church? Oh, we had fun until church started. Well, I know he was talking about probably running and playing with some kids out in a parking lot or across the campus someplace, but it is true that some churches can be just dead, dull, and boring. I was preaching at a church one time, and I was so concerned because they were just not responding. And you could tell funny things, and they just look at you, and everything was so serious. And went home and went to bed, and I dreamed. And I dreamed that I got up before the church, and I said, now, tonight, we're going to practice on having fun. How many people know how to laugh? Well, I saw hands that went up that surprised me, you know, because after two or three nights, I'd never seen anybody laugh, you know. But hands went up. And so I said, okay, we're going to practice laughing. I want everybody to just laugh. I looked out and nobody laughed. So now this is just a dream now. So I got in the very back here, and all of a sudden I made the ugliest face I could, and I took out running, and when I got to the edge of the platform, I did a flip in the air and landed on my feet, making a face at all of them, and I finally got one or two of them to smile. I said, well, I guess this is a good start. Of course, then I woke up. I didn't achieve getting them all to laugh. But our house is always full of laughter. Our church is always full of laughter. And you would do yourself a favor to make sure that while you're teaching Christian principles and while you are correcting, that you keep it simple and that you make it fun. Laughter creates an environment for learning, because it puts the want to in you. Makes living for God enjoyable. Gives your religion a tremendous lift every day. Puts energy in your life. We're just reading an article about depression. It said depression causes a loss of energy. When people are depressed, they feel tired all the time. They don't feel worth anything. They can't make themselves do anything. They're just down. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation. Selah. Now, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. I didn't say he just put a benefit on you. He loads you. Man, one thing I used to hate to do, and that's carry in wood. And the reason why is because my mother thought, you know, me being 14, that I was stronger than my 16-year-old sister. I don't know why she thought that, but, you know. So I'd go out there, and Josie would get a load, and I'd get a load. We'd bring it in, and I'd make sure I didn't get any more than she got. I'd tell Mother, I said, no, now look, she's 2 years older than me. She's got to be stronger than me. Mother says, now, John, you know that's not true. You can carry in more wood than that. So she got where she would go out to the wood pile with us. And after Josie had her load, she'd just keep loading me up. I'd tell her, I said, I can't load this up and put more wood on. She said, but I can put more wood on. And she'd, man, my little legs would just go wobbling. Of course, I was 14, you know, but I'd just go wobbling in the house. And when the Bible says he loadeth us with benefits, that's what he's talking about. Doesn't mean he just lays a benefit on you. But he has the ability to come and say, thank you, and take one more blessing, Robert. Just stand here and keep your hands out. Thank you, and take one more blessing, Melody. I thank you, and thank you, take one more blessing, Sharon. Well, I think you can take one more blessing. He just keeps piling the blessings on. Tony and Sandy, one more blessing, more blessing, more. He daily loadeth us with benefits. Now, I don't know what that does to you, but that, wow. You know, you come into a church service when you leave, you know, take my load upon you. Now, the thing about it is, my load is easy and my burden is light, because he won't load you down with curses. He will load you with blessings. And you know, it's like the helium-filled balloons. You fill them with helium, they want to fly away. Leva just got to... See, everybody that has a birthday, she thinks it's for her. And she really does. She thinks it's for her. And so her mother got a balloon, got to the car, and it went, choo. And she came home, she said the balloon went, choo. I didn't know what she's talking about. I mean, she turned loose with a string, and, well, there it goes, because it's lighter than air. And the Lord's blessings, well, you hang on to them, because they're going to lift you up. It'll make you feel good. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And some of these serious times in your home, you know, I've called homes that sound like a dogfight was taking place. Wow, what in the world is happening over there at that place? I've called other places where they're just like, well, please understand. You know, I know all about correcting. There have been times at the Grant place where it didn't sound like a picnic. But for the most part, keep it simple. Make it fun. God bless you. We'd like for you to stand at this time. We'd like for all of our parents to bring their children down here. We have gentlemen who will come and assist us. Brother Dave Hopp, Brother Shane Mackey, Brother Phil Demas, Brother Tim Knott, Brother Glenn Uselman, Brother Ward Meyer, Brother Peter Sandin, Brother Kevin Brown, Brother Rich Thomas will assist us. Now, if you have a special connection to one of the children that we're dedicating, position yourself in front of the family that has the child, and you can hold that child, okay? In the Bible, they did not baptize children. We have no record in the Bible where any child was ever baptized. That did not baptize without a knowledge of what he was doing. But they dedicated their children. And when the child was dedicated, it was taken out of the hands of the parents and placed in the hands of a designated person, that person was standing in God's stead. And this denoted that the parents recognized the lordship of God. So when they took the child and they handed the child off to the designated person, what they were really saying is, I put my child in the hands of Almighty God. Now, before we do this, we'd like for the remaining guests who are here to come and gather behind these, because we're going to be laying hands on them and praying for them. If you're a grandparent, make sure that you position yourself close to your child. Well, it's good to see this many people coming and supporting this. By the way, this is my great-grandson. Shane, hold him up. He would make a good Round John virgin. Look at this one over here. Oh, isn't this precious? Oh. If it be your intent to recognize the lordship of your Master and Savior in dedicating your child to the Lord, would you please put your child in the hands of the designated person? Some of you have already done this. In doing so, you as parents, why don't you just reach out and you can touch the child. As the person holds the child, we want to dedicate these children to the Lord. And Heavenly Father, what a great honor it is to be in your house, to feel your Holy Spirit, to worship you, God, in the beauty of holiness. And I pray, God, that every person here would remember, keep it simple, make it fun. Oh, what joy it is to serve you, worship you, Lord, in the beauty of holiness. I pray, God, your blessings to come rest upon these precious people. I pray, God, for these children, Lord, oh God, that you indeed would keep your hand upon them, that you would direct them, lead them, and guide them in the way in which they are to go. And God, until that great day that they reach the age of accountability where they can make their own decisions relative to their eternal destiny, I pray, God, keep your hand upon them, favor them in a special way. But we want to see them make that trip to the altar where they repent of their sins, where they are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and where they are filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. God, we pray right now as we dedicate these children to you. So in the host of all the family members, the friends, all the saints of God, the angels of heaven that look on, and in the presence of Almighty God, we dedicate these children to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody lift their hands, would you? We love you, God. We dedicate these children to you. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now reach out to the person in front of you. Just lay hands on that person until we reach the parents. And we want to rededicate the parents. And Lord, we reach out. We lay hands upon these parents. God, we're asking, grant to them special wisdom. Grant to them knowledge. Grant to them understanding. Give them, Lord Jesus, everything that they need to be excellent parents. They don't have to be perfect, Lord, to be excellent. We're just asking, God, that you be with them. Help them, Lord, to always remember that this child belongs to you, that it's not their child anymore. This child belongs to you. For the Bible says, all souls are mine, saith the Lord. God, we rededicate these parents to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, thank you, God. All right, God bless you. You may take your child back.